Thank you, Susan.
Is that high enough?
Yeah, well, I don't know. We'll see.
Hello.
Is it a little low? I don't know. It's intermittent. Like life. Yeah, that's lovely. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Susan. Thank you, Stephen. I'm astonished to be here. I feel a little bit like I died and this is on the way somewhere. It's on the way. One of the reasons I feel that way is the room is filled with people that I've known for many, many, many years and never see. There's at least, this is kind of extraordinary how many friends are here that, like Carol Lee, whom I've known forever. It's just sort of wonderful for me. It's like some deep return. What to do here? It's like 10 to 5. We're supposed to have started about half an hour ago, so we're almost done, actually. Have a lovely evening. So one of the things about me that you don't know is, or some of you do know, is that choices are hell. And so I really don't know how to make them. And the older I get, the worse this particular trait becomes. And so I'll end up spending a lot of time planning a reading that would take about 3 hours, I think, to complete. So I'll try and find a way, thread my way through this. It's also a problem to have written so many poems. It's a problem. I wish I'd written only 10, and then I'll just read you those, and everything would be fine. But I've been thinking recently, as many of you probably have been, about the whole problem of the garden. I have a garden, which is a problem. But mainly I've been thinking, behind thinking about the garden and the persistence of gardens in our world, is the relation between a kind of urban sensibility and a rural setting. So I grew up, as you heard, in New York City and spent most of my time in urban conditions, and now I've been up here for nearly 15 years, maybe 15 years. And so I take with me this urban sensibility into the country, and it does very odd things to a poetics, because and I won't go on about that, but there's, you know, we could talk about that. It's about narrative, I think. But so I went back and I found a very, very early poem from my first book, which was called Many Times But Then. There's a little puff happening here. Is that okay? The sound?
Yes.
Okay?
Sure.
So this is a poem called A Visit to the Country. It's from this book that was published about 104 years ago. The event of A Visit to the Country. There are legends which please the inner ear, that part that yearns, does not hear, but knows when the mechanical rabbit is slain by the real thing. The real thing revokes the vulgar, indiscriminate corpse into pain of birth, told and retold by the woman who otherwise does not speak. She stops drinking and digs holes for roses. One is called Chicago Peace, bred to resemble the white rose on the tapestry in which the unicorn distills myth from history. She thinks of St. Francis as the bluebird's nest in a small wood box. They exist, but St. Francis is a reverie among bald, silent monks. On an island in the pond, two turtles shine. They wait centuries for the geese to lay. There's another little poem in here called Last Night It Rained, but I think I won't read that. But I will read, I wasn't intending to, but Marie Howe, wonderful poet, is here. Is she here still? Are you here, Marie? Or have you left? Huh. I know. Well, she asked for a poem. And there's nothing that I crave more than requests. You're going to request the same poem? You know the poem? Okay, so this is another poem that has a reference to a garden. It was written in memory of my sister Jennifer. It's called The French Girl. Someone plays and the breaking mounts, raw material for worthy forthcoming, indecipherable, discreet. Plays rhapsodies as the air cools and vanquishes. Nothing sits still yet. The land is a result of its use, I explained. Everything else rested while the kids made a girdle removed from classical syntax. Shed and something breaks, mounting the small hill to its vista. I saw a rope of trees in another country. I could not say I am lost in the proper way. The season is huge. This house is haunted. I planted it. Where? In the shed and spoiled by attention. You see, every bit counts when the morning displays the serious ratio of the given stars. What made us tear the hours into lines? So things became a burden to shed and astute as a hungry pilgrim, but not brave, not expert. It is impolite to stare, is unwise to plunder the easily forgotten, easily shed, and they drummed and drummed. Attached to a vestigial clamor, the heat splayed, sparklers ravished the fog. Morning tore the dead back to shore. Enemy ships floundered and were forgotten. Still, nothing was appeased. The living silhouette drifted into view like an ephemeral sail, promoting ease between wreckages. Not speaking a word of English, she animated the landscape with abundance, a chosen self freely translated into the color of her eyes. Awkward and luminous, a stilted charm separating figure from ground and solving it. What pushed us toward the abysmal was such new appraisals, such sure interest. The mute girl had seen glories, but what had she come to know? A finite figure, in a rainy field, a naked figure in a pool, a skipping figure across a bridge, a lost figure on a city street, a moaning figure on a big bed, a smiling face in a photograph. All summer, I circled the garden for her sake. And I thought I'd read one more earlier poem and then maybe read a few from the last book and then some recent things. Is that okay? Mm-hmm. You guys standing, are you okay? I'll ask again later. Yep. This is called Harm's Way, Arm's Reach. And this was written on when I came back from a trip to Paris, and it was the moment of the first attack, terrorist attack in New York. So it was a long time ago. And when I came back, there was this sense, this brooding sense of urgency that had come around, especially in Lower Manhattan. And the other thing that maybe is interesting to know is that I had had a tree out my back windows on Duane Street, and somebody had cut the tree down while I was gone. So that appears also in this odd little poem. I don't know really why I'm reading this. Harm's Way, Arm's Reach. Things are not cured by resilience. Thrash, thrash, wept the amputated limb, unable to lean, starved of its hair. A group of men wanted to avenge, to truncate the city, to make everyone scream. On the bateau in wild heat, children laughed through the history lesson, through the great facades, in the year of friendly fire. The friend looked away, subverting fate because of the wound, saying, "I disapprove of the personality of the street, which cannot be arranged. Henceforth, 2 out of 3 curtains must be closed." In fiction's unhinged seat, in the hesitant new, resting under a shadow unbodied in febrile need, and from afar, far in that land, song of the first bird, pressure in the throat, gospel devoted to mercy, a zone or hinge, out of the discursive enclosure, long frieze of furious goddesses, wrath of the drunken boy, in the home of depraved girls, in the department of recent arrivals. My name is an unsolved equation. I come toward you. I ask you to meet me at twilight in the unfinished part of the story, in the small grotto, in the room with giraffes and a man with a string, when it is raining, when all the maps are spread on the desk, where the towels, where the nest fell. I write to you from the place of habit, but today I am young. I am merely a slant, perpetually drawn into spelling. My name is a tall man who walks along the street of books in the year of the mouth, who has not forgotten how to kiss. The friend says, but in order to fix it, you must have a sense of prior perfection. She says, light, beauty, fire. I say, toward and rage of the weed and etymology and starvation. I say, the change or revolution that does not produce the conclusion or final event, catastrophe as definition, the will that was. Where we come from abides as choice. It is the way of a vowel. Have you remembered to take all your belongings with you? Today, all distance is summer. If you open the curtains, you will see the evil wires, the broken lock, the rifles, the plot, dark crevices of diminished weight, the lesson of the open hand, your mother's maiden name. You will hear a cluster of pilgrims undaunted by speed, flagrant as any transparency, the indelible scheme of the wish, a parade for no reason, an apricot thud where the limb was. So then, you don't want to hear the poem I wrote after my grandmother died, do you? No.
Yes.
It's a request. Everyone
loses their grandmother.
But that was a long time. We may not get to the new work, though, then, if we do that.
New work.
Everything.
Everything. This is what I want to hear. Everything. So my darling friend and co-director, what are we? Co-chair not directors. The director is here, actually. I want to get in, so I have to be very careful. Co-chair of writing in the MFA. Nice to see you here, Susan. Asked me to say hello to my poems for him because he can't be here. And there is actually a little poem for him in this last book of mine called Under the Sun. It's called Domestic Modernism. Are you ready?
Yes.
A chair and a painting are in love. They resemble each other. This happens rarely. It takes a long time for a chair and a painting to fall in love. One of them is geometrical and slides across curves against a black ground. The other is floral. The floral once had a fraternal twin rug, but it was exiled. In the back of this, but this book is in 3 parts, and in the back there are some poems in which I address an instructor. The poet addresses the instructor. I'll read you a few of the instructor poems, and then I'll read you some new poems, and then we'll be done. Untitled Spoon. Dear instructor, how to clarify this momentum from its singularity among thieves? The tide was pink this evening. I saw 3 deer, a rabbit, and a fox. A visitor came. We spoke. He gave me amazing tomatoes grown by the sun. These mild occurrences and others insinuate the forgotten as rich and the... Paul does not want to be read. I will read it.
Oh my God.
Okay, we'll try this one. I can't stand it, you people. It's having to stand. Yeah, no, I know, but I'm busy. Letter in praise of promiscuity. Dear instructor, no one is faithful. This is not autobiography. There's a clumsy note on your doorstep beyond orange bags at the roadside and this apology for wanting to have spoken to you sooner. We're sutured now. A calm of sorts has taken hold and yet technology is fevered. Thought wishes everything were everything French, as in the living dead of the of the sad least genre. The poem greets its bouquet. I'm thinking of floral wreaths. They seem to have a story. The story is not heartland pure. The story yields a structure, and the structure seems infinite. The floral occasion is a circle. This would be a trope for everlasting or undead love, but the boy is gone. He stepped out over a crest of ocean into our own perdition while we slept. In sleep, the lover comes back. At first, the lover is a cruel and indecipherable metonymy. Then, or after, he seems released from the triangular hood worn as protection against infidelity. Try not to think about numbers. Numbers are a form of punishment. That's true. Okay, this is untitled Against Perfection. All that left aside, left awkwardly on that side, done away with in immediate neighborhoods of chivalry. Wait. Under the cleft sign to read will be continuance, a kept event because there was a delivery of sorts. Because it had come to pass near? Wait. Old Tingling sat down sweaty, thought the portrait was of Mick, thought she had long hair then stopped. Wait. And wanted these not to die, not to pass on. Wait. The lad's charm, charmed by the lad, his demeanor, thank you, so young, among the crowded, the high bed, lifted, charmed, while the gaze, without therapy, without the car. Wait. She has the left hand a paper, she has the kiss, long afterward they had passed, had kissed in the smallest room, had found the ring of fear, and still things happened, kept happening, went on, although the mode shifted in degree and measure. Wait. Had these come withered now under such guise as the planet's remembered cycles, their friction carried out against clouds, anxieties, waste, then what was planned or planted would approach through the center of conviction, yea or nay, buttressed into abstraction, possibly scented with lemony highlights in our visual age. Okay, I too have had it, the tale, the tremors, the incidents so enjambed that only the edgy molecule catches on, breathes its minuscule agenda onto skin like that of a peel. The peel of evening across high bricks, the peel of an orchid's deadly grip on perfection. All right, the last from the book, and then we'll... I'll read you a couple
of them. Don't stop, don't stop.
Oh, thank you.
They love it.
Yes. You'll be sorry.
More!
You'll be very, very sorry. So this is classical augury. I think there's a Platonist in the audience, and something about Plato saying something about the city of words, right? Is that right? Platonist? Classical augury. City of words, rotunda and desert wanderer, climb the absence, follow this simple curve into the footprint, or find indifference, a shelter, as if lost within a cave, confounded within the merry, leafy compost. City of words, ideal translation and misfortune to hesitate at the sequel, to traipse backward onto the path, stunted underfoot, to wait until the sugar dissolves, until the rat's nose upends a leaf, seeing as the windows are shut, the heads are mounted on rose hips and thorns, prayer is spoken into the dark. City of words, bring the ruin to its proper place among nouns, open its mouth, peer into the rosy throat, surely not a new day, her name is common, she walks along the fibrous tissues and sticks, recalls the fictive cause to save, to go back, to align, to dwell among first attributes of space, but what are these? Hasty, dim angels. Are they above, below? Beautiful plural, sloping toward duration. Okay, a little bit of new work. So the problem with new work is that I've been writing a lot of sequences. You see, I sort of like this idea of sequences. So I take a little bit of time.
Exile the rug.
So maybe I will read, just trying to think. Okay, I think maybe I'll read three sequences. Will that do it? That'd be good?
Yeah.
I've actually never read this one, so I might quit in the middle if I don't like it. Modes of unbelief. Yellow fortifies the drone's flared assertions as of wind. Redeemed from an old file, misnomers flee to attic dust. Habitus of software, dream palace, leaked oil. Etymology, French, and distributed across the site's icon and partial song. Hemlock shade, open mouth stuck in the modem's blinking pulse, an adventure among particulars none of them recalled, as if sorrow could take one abroad, away from the recluse harbor. Forfeiture at the gates, oh, the merry widow, the wise fool, oh, dearest clone, put on your hat and shoes, make your slow way across the rug. What remains? The workers are leaving the factory. The students are in the building. Fires are set. Our Lady of Masks is about to visit, white gloves drawn over dark nails. Our Lady of Secrets is casting her vote, hair a pale shimmer in spring rain. She counts her pennies and the dead. The crows are indifferent, but urgent. The heron lopes across a blousy sky, west to east, seemingly enchanted with itself. An aristocratic bird, in Plato's terms, noble and graceful. A boat is wheeled down to the river. The stones are indifferent. Also, the grass. The bathers become paint. The paint points forward to a boy wearing a black shirt with letters. The letters are indifferent. A girl reads the words on the shirt. So I'm wondering just how much risk I should take.
Go for it.
Yeah, love it.
This is the crowd.
It's a great crowd. You guys are great. All right, I have the...
EverQuest.
I'm going to try this. I worked on it this morning. I don't know that it's done. I'm going to read this poem, and then I'm going to read one more, and then, okay. Unless you demand that I read one. So this is a longer sequence, and it's called Aftermath. And I dedicated it to the great art critic, T.J. Clark, who's one of my very favorite writers about art, certainly. And I read it was, as you can probably tell, a lot of my poems are sort of instigated by things, and then other things get pulled in. And the instigation here was a review that Clark wrote in the London Review Books, I think, on Goya. In the review, what he often does, this Clark sort of meditates around things before he ever talks about the thing itself, which is, as you can tell, something I like to do. So, and he talked about the fact that in Goya's time, there was something called a minister for grace and justice. And I thought, oh, wow. That must have been nice. So this is Aftermath for T.J. Clark, and it just begins there and then wanders. It's in several parts. So then, where is our minister for grace and justice, our minister for the end of ignorance under the law, the law's vulgate, zap, zap, you're dead, zap, for good measure. Goya's interiors spread their cartoon stain red into the black garb of sabotage. And there, in that city, light shatters into fate's debris, glass, coin, shoe, book, book. Look, look, can you see the book? The pages are wet, can you turn them? Place your thumb in oil, blot the spiral out. History's horizon blurs into running crowds, pitched waves, mobile boundaries not sanctioned by law. History's horizon contracts into small boats traversing rough waters. Scan the skies evening, golds and greens, more brilliant than a reliquary chalice, a saint's crescent. Paint that. Scan the turbulence for cinders, white hot dots, matrix of illusion spurred on by desire and reason's catastrophic carrier pregnant with a god, Sappho's moon crossed by the wing of an owl. Dear gray-eyed Athena, please allow transport safely across the waters. Film that. Trapped by a ghost, many ghosts, a host of ghosts, they do not sing, but stare into a shade lowered over coins that mimic sun. The young man on the screen is timeless. He speaks into the unknown from a blackened room. We cannot see his interlocutors, nor hear their exhaled breath. Meanwhile, in the stadium, thousands stand to sing in unison an anthem. Oh, say can you see by the dawn's remnant bombs bursting air. Record that. The agenda has a requiem, brass, percussion, solo baritone rising over the coral bloom. Look up and up, the cascade rises, but the leaves are fallen and the familial roost divided. The plural of I is not we. And in the not we, we flee into the hedge while the machine's routine noise, zappity zap, zap. Let's improvise a story. Let's begin with a journey out onto paths, into meadows, glades, forests, brackish ponds, scented lilies on ponds, bees. Let's end with a prayer for the bees. Or these words, cyber, black, blessings of spit forth gifts. Good luck with that and with picking shards from the pavement oil, pilgrim or migrant or exile traversing the calendar stage with spidery precision. Speak into the megaphone, cyber, black. Now join the ensemble as it wanders from what it was taught by a preacher or cop saved from the whispering echo. I want, I want. How to quantify a rupture, sit in its midst like a bad child in mud, discipline and punish. Good luck with that. The global ruse is unsupportable by the local client. She wants the garden stone lowered so her child can reach parsley, sage, rosemary, and thyme, lyrics from the melting pot. Let's poll the pot and see how it intends to vote. Zap. Let's take a bite from the apple, whim over the door frame, tears in the sink. Lady natters on about intimacy. She's a bore, but she's cornered the market on intimacy. She tells us we need to speak face to face into the ensemble of relations that faces are. She warns against the mirror at our fingertips. Are you tired of these homilies, these warnings, these studies that say we have lost touch? We know we have lost touch. We know we are the remnant organs of a bodiless hum. So an unnamed subject bequeaths golds, greens, all its auras into our show. Don't look, turn away as the hero walks across the bridge with his murderer mistress. He walks with a side-to-side motion, his great shoulders tipping. The water below carries his coat on sorrow's bloodied current. It's an affecting image of the unendurable endurance of duration, phenomenal and cruel. The thing disintegrates or melts like paper in a flood, becoming illegible as it falls over the embankment. The hero Luther is named for the hero Luther. Pick a card, any card. What did you get? A nine, a queen, which? The one with black spades or the one with red hearts? Place your bets. Let's get a slice of pizza. Let's pick up some eggs, some chard. Let's go down to the river and watch the sunset. Let's hope for the best. The clock is imaginative. It has time, or we imagine it has time. I'm not sure how to measure this gift sanctioned by the stars. They stay constant, although they are dead. They send what came before what came last. Their light, aftermath. There's one with Pusa in it. All right, I'll be good. Just one. It's beginning to be coy, isn't it, this little game I'm playing? I'm just letting you know that I know you're there. There are people who read things and don't know anybody's there. So this is the first poem that I wrote. It isn't the first poem. It's the first poem that I really attempted to deal with the feelings about the election of Donald J. Trump to the presidency. And as you can also tell, I don't usually write directly about anything, and I can do that here. You'll be glad to hear. I tried to figure out a way to orchestrate a set of thoughts or feelings around this event, or this, I don't know that you want to call it even an event, this change. I was inspired in it by Obama's speech in South Carolina. After the murders there that was so spectacular, in which, as I'm sure you all know, he began to sing Amazing Grace. The poem is called Nave, N-A-V-E, even though I don't think that church, that Baptist church, had a nave, but I was remembering early training in architecture, actually, so hardly training. Courses I took. Sorry. Of course, in churches I took. All right. Nave. And it's shaped, it's thinner lines than usual. I tried to make it a long, thin poem. Or such incentives as a golden hook dangling from the neck of a swan, glint of moon, circumference of a pond and the incessant vibration of wings, a song off in the distance, song or chant. Above a yellow willow, the feminine drift of clouds, gauzy and unpredictable, secrets intact. And the devotional sun ruptures its coil and leaks through long fingers of tarnished light touching a bowl. Pews, aisles, heads bowed to stone. Above the willow, clouds assemble a congregation of weeping girls, their heads wrapped in bandages, feet muddied. None of this can be seen. So the dream sutures images onto pale drawings. Here will be the bed, here the gown, here will be the drain for the new sink, here the table, candle, spoon. And these? Stairs folded out from air and stars, made to lean against a broken stump, up, up, down, down, counting the steps as the river disappears behind a looming scaffold. This would have a name, but it is mute as weather, and the thin poles are transparent to the sound of bells heaving their toll. Havoc? Is this havoc? In the dream, we climbed like children, counting one, two, three, up the ancient ladder with its scent of pine. A man played a cello. A woman lay prone on a deck, turning into the stench of salt and tobacco, her hair flooding across the hull. I guess a band played to keep the ritual intact, but the sea and the sails and the moving clouds heard nothing of the repeated drum pulse. The woman drowned. Molecular and luminous, she assembled in front of a cave where hands had touched rock, and rock became bird. The anchor's chain rains down link by link in a clatter of hardened soot. Have we been here before? The interior doubles its enclosure, a circus forms. A mountain is a bruise on the horizon, but the sky, hidden again, continues to harbor the girl's undistributed lament. Pale light, virtue in long rags, pulls across a blind little passage. Were we ever inside? And yet the glass broke into glittery shards and the freed bloods crossed the floor, the gravel, the fields, and water? Yes, water fell for the architect and for the carnival gesture and for the improbable swan. Memory's fraudulent desire strips rapture onto fable, soldier standing in front of a statue, woman in floral robe, bricks of the missing house. Turn down that street, sit on that porch, watch those roof cats scatter for their prey. Is murky now, and the dark contracts its allegory into testaments of faith. We are waiting for a crumpled assonance to undo the cries for mercy or make from artifice an actual tool. The dump contracts our purview. We count blue bottles thrown from the sea. We toss gray pebbles at empty jars. Choice is consequence. Were we wearing hoods that day? Which day? The day the clown climbed all the way to the top and stared down. Neither extended nor reached, habits insatiable laps roving in orbits, their bright slogans drawn into icons of intent. What shall we do? What do? The bridge hangs over the river, a diadem of light, and the unbuilt globe traverses the amphitheater from above, unblinking dry eye on the rubble lot. The clown scowls through his mute mask, unable to know how many, how much. He spins the toy top, he pinches the mean air. There are constellations sieving the night, equations distorting the aperture. This does not equal this. Into the aporia floats the sum of disbelief as the parable calls up its miraculous lyric, was blind but now. Thank you.